This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners. .org.
Happy Monday, and time for some sports talk right here on AM 870 WKAR. You just heard an introduction at the 1 o'clock start from Terry Braverman. No, this is not Terry Braverman. This is Alex Sharg, usually the guy who's behind the glass queuing up Terry Braverman, and usually the guy that presses that redo button in the studio that unfortunately did not happen today. Again, I'm Alex Sharg. We'll be with you for the next hour of sports programming on WKAR. We've got a jam-packed lineup, as usual, every week, no matter who's hosting. Just a little preview of what to expect on today's show. At 1:10, we'll start to get into some Spartan basketball, the unfortunate loss against Ohio State, how they could not contain Kraft and his crew as they unfortunately took one away from the Spartans, dropping two straight now in Big Ten play. At 1:20, Terry Fitzwater will be joining us from the mid-Michigan racing scene. We'll recap the NASCAR crash that left 26 people wounded and in some critical conditions for a select few. And we'll also get into the Daytona race with Danica Patrick and Jimmy Johnson clearly leading the pack as they dominated that race this past weekend. We'll get into some of the history of crashes that we've seen in NASCAR. In 1998, if some of you are listening, there was a crash right here in Michigan. So I'm sure Terry, when he comes on, he'll join us to discuss that crash. And then the biggest crash was in 1955, and that was across seas in France. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. And then at 1:40, we're gonna basically start off that 20 minutes with a segment called Take Your Spartan as the NFL Scouting Combine starts off this weekend and continues throughout the week. We have four Spartans that are mainly competing in that hopefully will have a future in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell, Will Golston, Deion Sims, and Johnny Adams. Basically, we're going to do a Take Your Spartan segment. And what that is you, the listener, will have the chance to call in and basically give your reason why one of these four Spartans will have the brightest NFL future, especially what you've seen from the combine thus far. We'll get into some statistics, some minor notes, what we've seen from Bell running a 4.640, improving his draft stock tremendously. We'll talk about Will Golston's concerns about his quote-unquote inconsistent play. We'll get into Johnny Adams and some big news about Chris Norman, the former linebacker for the Spartans. All this and more on Sports Talk 870. But you also should know that Aaron Young is behind the glass today joining us. He'll come on in a little bit with us as well, discuss some of the events this past weekend. And you know, the bad thing about this show is there's only an hour to fit in Detroit Pistons. We can't even get to Detroit Red Wings, unfortunately. We pick our three topics as they come. Unfortunately, these are the most important in Aaron and I's eyes, but we of course invite you, the listener, to call on any topic that you deem important that you think that we should talk about right here on the air. The number, as usual, 517-355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can also call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's WKAR 870. The email, as usual, sportstalk@WKAR.org. Again, I'm Alex Sharg, taking the legendary seat, boosting it a couple inches from Earl Robinson, as of course Jeremy, Jack Ebling, and I'm sure Terry had to raise it up a little bit well, but there's only a certain level that you can raise it to, as Earl will always be remembered. I believe there's a Earl celebration that will be sometime in April, so definitely keep your ears open for that. But as the show continues, we start to have our ticket giveaways. Yes, we are giving away tickets for this weekend's hockey games versus Western Michigan. That's why you'll see a Michigan battle for March 1st and March 2nd. A pair for each night, pair for Friday, pair for Saturday. If you want the chance to win a pair of hockey tickets to see Tom Anastas, Dean Chelios, and the Michigan State crew at Munn Ice Arena this weekend, the number to call, 517-884-4783. Again, the number 517-884-4783. That's for pairs of tickets to see the Michigan State men's hockey team take on the Western Michigan hockey team at Munn Ice Arena this weekend. Stay tuned also in future weeks as we'll start to give away tickets for Northwestern, the Northwestern Wildcats basketball team coming to Breslin to take on the Michigan State Spartans. So definitely keep your ears tuned to see what happens with that. But for now, of course, get your hockey calls in. Unfortunately, we'll start right away as we talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team as they faced off against Ohio State this past weekend and unfortunately could not pull out a win. They basically stumbled all over Aaron Kraft as he sliced through the backcourt, sliced through Appling, sliced through Harris. It was hard to watch if you were a Spartan fan, especially the last 10 minutes or so when Ohio State went on their huge run of 24-5. We'll get into your thoughts if Izzo should have called a timeout. If you're a Spartan fan around the mid-Michigan area, is there anything that you would have done differently that Tom Izzo didn't do? Or, matter of fact, if you're Gary Harris or if you're Keith Appling, how do you explain your play and your performance from this last game? Of course, a lot of buzz. Two straight games that Keith Appling has had poor performances. He knows it. I'm sure you've all read the articles written by the Journal, written by MLive, on how Appling knows. He knows that he's disappointed himself. He knows he's disappointed Coach Izzo. He knows he's disappointed this team the last 2 days. Again, the number 517-355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-WKAR-870. Again, we're going to start right off with the Michigan State stumble this past weekend. And it's also important to know that Michigan, as of 30 minutes ago, has topped Michigan State after the loss in the AP poll. Actually, back in CBS's projection, they're back as the number one seed, which is pretty interesting to say. But again, that's CBS. That's not AP. That's still remaining that the Indiana Hoosiers are the number one team. But again, Michigan State, after beating the Wolverines by 23 points, and even this news coming out today, do you feel that Michigan State should be ranked lower than the Wolverines, although they lost to Ohio State? They're still giving Michigan the nod, although Michigan State blew them out by 23-plus when they played them a week ago. So, you know, that's a little mind-boggling to me, too. You see the fact that Michigan State has probably a difficult schedule compared to Michigan's, a slightly difficult schedule. Michigan State, of course, not coming through every single game. Their consistency is not there. But I'll tell you who was there was Aaron Kraft, as he lit up 21 points for his career high against Michigan State. Aaron Kraft, obviously, in the second half, tore them apart every way you could beat us, Tom Izzo said. He hit 7 for 12 of his shots. All of them on drives, a lot of them on the thickest players in the paint. Gary Harris, for some final statistics on that game, Gary Harris finished off with 14, Knicks had 12. And here's a statistic that was pretty nice to see. Adrian Payne, 12 points and 15 rebounds, and 10 of those rebounds were in the first half alone. So basically, if Adrian Payne basically stayed out of a little bit of foul trouble, if he got some more minutes, he probably could have had those rebounds rack up even more. So nice to see Adrian Payne's play continuously improve game in and game out. And let me ask you this, if you're listening. If you're a Spartan fan, throughout the whole entire year, we've consistently said that Keith Appling has taken leadership of this team. He's taken into his own hands with Big Ten play. He makes the plays that count. But lately, the way Adrian Payne has been playing, I wouldn't be so surprised to hear some people in the media, hear some of the listeners and fans say that Adrian Payne is slowly molding this team into his own hands. If you agree that this might be Adrian Payne's team for the last two games, or if not the last half of this Big Ten play, 517-355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. Again, 355-9527 or 877-952-7870. Again, I'm Alex Sharg. If you're just tuning in, usually the guy queuing everything up behind the glass, Aaron Young, is behind the glass with us. Aaron, did you by chance catch the Michigan State game, what you saw from Aaron Kraft? And more so, is this Adrian Payne's team? Started off with you.
Well, actually, what the funny thing is we're on the radio, so I decided to tune into the radio to listen to the game instead of watching it on TV, just because I wasn't in front of a TV. But in any case, what's weird about that, listening to it on the radio compared to the TV, you don't get to see you know, sort of a lot of the, you can only, you know, the commentator can only do so much to explain how, you know, what is going on in the game, but you can't see the little nuances that you can actually see on the TV, obviously, because you're just listening to it. But, you know, I sort of agree with you. I think Payne is kind of taking it into his own hands, frankly, because Appling just really hasn't stepped up to be sort of that leader. Trice might, maybe, you know, once he gets back in 100%, whether or not he gets to that this season, I don't know, might end up maybe next season kind of being that role. But, yeah, you're right, Payne. You know, when he slams at home or he gets a basket, you know, you just, you know, the TV will come in and zoom in on him, and he's just got this look on his face. He's just pumped. He's excited. You know, he just has a lot of fire to him, and, you know, it excites the team. I mean, when he slams at home, I mean, the bench just gets up, and they just get all excited. So,
and you brought up a great point, Aaron, is he's got that fire. He's got that tenacity on the court. And as we saw at the Michigan game, and I saw this when I was spectating this game, is out of all the players on the bench, although he's not playing, when Adrian Payne was on the bench, he was almost like the coach. He was standing up. He would not sit down any second of the game in that Michigan game. Sure. But sure, that could be part of that rivalry. That could be part of that fire and tenacity of dropping four straight to the Wolverines before coming into this game this year and blowing them out, which was probably the best Spartan win, debatably, all year. Now, as you said, he's got that fire. They zoom on him. They like that his pro potential is skyrocketing game in and game out. But, and even more so, who would expect Adrian Payne to be this good at this point of the season? Last year, this guy was not even close to averaging double-doubles for game ins for each game. And even in Big Ten play, when you're facing, you know, some very quality big men from Ohio State and Michigan, debatable quality big men, but you're playing Gazelle, you're playing these Ohio State guys that are nationally recruited that sometimes are out of the state of Ohio. So if you feel otherwise with Aaron, if you agree with me, 355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. Again, we are giving away pairs of hockey tickets this weekend when the Michigan State Spartans take on Western Michigan at the Breslin Center. The Broncos coming in looking to knock off this Michigan State team who took one away in Alaska this past weekend. So if you would like to catch the Spartans live at Munn Ice Arena, the ticket number 517-884-4783 will be announcing winners throughout the end of this week. Again, a pair for Friday's game and a pair for Saturday. So a doubleheader with Western Michigan coming to Munn this weekend. Along with Adrian Payne and the Spartans, another topic of conversation are the Big Ten title hopes. Obviously, dropping two straight, eyebrows are starting to raise. Izzo, of course, not happy with back-to-back game performances against two tough teams. Sure, very tough teams in Ohio State and Indiana. Who would have expected that Michigan State, at this point last year, they are better now than they were last year before the Michigan game. So you've got to look at it in a different perspective. And hey, sure, it's been disappointing so far. It's been disappointing to see that Appling's performances haven't carried over, that the Spartans haven't been able to close out any games within the last week or so. But at the same time, this is a quality Big Ten prestigious conference this year. When was the last time you saw a Big Ten team rated number one in the country besides Ohio State? This is probably the Big Ten's most prominent season in the last 5 years, debatably. So if you feel otherwise, if you agree or disagree, and even talk about the Big Ten title hopes for the Michigan State Spartans, 355-9527. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. Again, in the next minute or so, we'll be joined by Terry Fitzwater from the Mid-Michigan racing scene as he discusses the NASCAR unfortunate crash this weekend. And even the Daytona race as Danica Patrick and Jimmy Johnson, compete and vie for that number one spot. Again, Terry Fitzwater joining us in just a minute here. We'll talk about the Mid-Michigan racing scene too, some of the history of crashes that we've seen throughout the years. Crashes in 1998, 1955, of course, one in 1955, leaving 83 fatalities in that one. So, of course, a lot to talk about with Terry as we return right after this short break. Stay tuned for more Sports Talk with Terry Fitzwater. I'm Alex Sharg, Aaron Young behind the glass on Sports Talk AM 870.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation from NPR News right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. Mostly sunny and a high of 35 today. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, look for 1 to 3 inches of snow with a high of 31. A winter storm watch has been issued from Tuesday afternoon through late Tuesday night. Light snow likely Wednesday, the high 36.
Welcome back to Sports Talk 870. I'm Alex Sharg, Aaron Young behind the glass today, and usually as I, myself, and Aaron split the time behind the glass, getting another opportunity to host this week's show. Again, like I said right before the break, we are joined now by Terry Fitzwater from the Mid-Michigan racing scene as we recount the unfortunate crash this weekend. Terry, just to start off, first of all, thank you for taking the time out of the day to come on the show for a little bit. Second, I'm sure there's a lot of buzz right now, and I'm sure you have numerous people confronting you about this NASCAR crash, about the safety of the fences, about basically the aggressiveness of some of the drivers within that last lap. First of all, Terry, if you caught that race, if you saw it live, what were your first initial thoughts when you saw the crash, and basically your summary of what has happened since then?
Well, I think that when I first saw it, Kyle Larson, who was driving the number 32 car, it was his first race in the Nationwide Series, and I've known Kyle for a couple of years, and we knew, and I was watching him with special interest because he races in the Midwest a lot in sprint cars. He's from California originally, but I got to meet him last year. So all the drivers I've known for a number of years said, watch out for this guy. He's the next up-and-coming thing.
Right.
So I was watching him with particular interest on Saturday. But when on the last lap, and anything goes on the last lap, it's an understood rule with the drivers, the fans. They're going to do whatever they can to win the race, especially at a track as famous as Daytona. When they were coming down to the checkered flag, couple of guys got loose in front of him, and he was just caught up in the incident. And then, unfortunately, he went airborne, crashed into the fence, and the debris went into the stands. And it was a horrific scene at the Speedway as fans were scurrying, trying to, you know, and you can't get out of the way because these cars are traveling at 180 miles an hour. So when the debris comes, that's the centripetal force or whatever you want to call it that is carrying that stuff into the stands. And but, you know, thank God nobody was killed because an incident, you know, a number of years ago at MIS, we saw a tire go into the stands and killed some people. So it's not like this hasn't happened before, and it's not like it probably won't happen. It will happen again, and
right.
I don't think there's a whole lot that the tracks can do unless they completely move the stands back further or do something other with the changing the actual retaining fence.
Right. Now, you mentioned that, Kyle, you've known him. This is one of his first races, you know, on the circuit. Could Kyle have done anything about that aggressiveness? Could he have dodged that? Or is that the situation when it's so close on that final lap, it just happens?
Yeah, it just happens. And, you know, and then a number of years ago, I've known Ryan Newman for a long time, and Ryan told me, he said, some years somebody's going to get killed at Daytona or Talladega. Those are the fastest tracks in NASCAR on that, you know, what they call the restrictor plate race tracks. They, you know, think because the cars are so close together and they run in packs that that's inevitable. They always wait for the big one. We
right.
saw the big one on Saturday. Fortunately, there wasn't a real big one like they've had in the past during the Daytona 500. But they're going so fast, they're so close together. One car gets out of line, you know, no matter how quick you can react, there's just no way to slow down when you're going 180, 185, 190 miles an hour. So when that happens,
right.
you're just caught up in it, and all you can do is you're along for the ride.
Yeah.
I think yesterday in the Daytona 500, there's a great in-car shot of Kevin Harvick when he was caught in an accident early. You just take your hands off the wheel, and, you know, you just ride along and hope, you know, hope for the best.
Right. Now listen, that's a frightening comment from Newman, saying that eventually somebody is going to be killed at Daytona. Now, is there anything that NASCAR can do? Are they aware? Do you think that NASCAR, you know, sees that same view as Newman does?
Well, yeah, I think they're aware of it. They've tried to, you know, make the cars as safe as possible. After Dale Earnhardt was killed, you know, the head restraints that they put in the Hans devices. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, an IndyCar driver, Dan Weldon, was killed out in Las Vegas, and they redid some of the fencing out in Las Vegas, and all the tracks in the NASCAR circuit and racing circuit looked at what happened there and how they could redo the fences. But they, you know, I think there's an unwritten understanding that it is a dangerous sport and dangerous things are going to happen. And as Tony Stewart said in Victory Lane on Saturday afterwards, you know, it's something that the drivers, they accept that risk. They know that that can happen. Obviously, they don't want it to happen. But, you know, when something like that happens to the fans, everybody gets concerned, because even though the ticket stubs and every track that you go to, whether it be a short track or not, will have something, a disclaimer saying that you assume the risk that debris could fly into the stands or you could be injured. Nobody wants to see the fans hurt. You know, you don't want to see the drivers hurt, but the drivers assume that risk. The fans, when it happens, it becomes, it just becomes a little sadder. And there's a local connection to that. On Saturday, a couple from Leslie, Michigan, they actually own the Remax real estate company down there. Both of those people were caught up in the crash and the debris and were put in the hospital.
Wow. Just so shocking to see all of what happens after that. And you, as you said, you know, this is something that's happened before. You know, we've seen all sorts of crashes, and especially with the new head restraints. But let's just talk about some past crashes. And I'm not sure if maybe you were witness to some of these, starting off in 1998 when the Indy race was in Michigan. Did you catch that one, Terry?
Yeah, I was at the race that day when the tire went over and killed the those people. I did not see that, you know, the tire actually hit the fans in the stands, but I was there that day. And, you know, any time debris goes into the stands, I mean, you just have a sick feeling about yourself. And then when you see the tents get put over the area where somebody's been hurt and they can't get them out of there, and you realize something awful has happened, it's a very sickening feeling. And as a fan of the sport, you know, you question yourself, because I've even caught myself, you know, taking pictures along the side of the track at MIS or other racetracks, visiting with friends, sitting close to the fence, and realizing in the back of my mind, you know, this is not the best place to sit. You want to sit up higher to avoid incidents like that, because if there's going to be a crash next to the wall, I mean, you're talking a fence, little parts can come through there. On any kind of crash, and of course, you know, the stuff starts flying over the retaining fence. You know, if you're in the first 30, 40 rows, you know, you're taking a chance. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, we see what happened at Daytona.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and even you just being there for that race, just describe the feeling for the listeners, what that was like for you, besides seeing the debris, that shock from the fans. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like, you know, to see basically, you know, just all of the debris going over the fences and all these spectators in such a big race, you know, to witness something like that. Can you just describe what that was like for you?
It's hard to describe, because everything happened so fast. You know, you see the, you know, you see the tire smoke as cars are on the brakes, and that, you know, everybody stands up and looks. But then it happened so fast. But after you realize, once it hits you, what just happened, it's almost like an oxymoron. It happened so fast, you don't catch everything, but then you start replaying it in your head.
Right.
Oh, my God, did I just see that? Did I see that tire come over? I saw it hit in the stands. I saw some of the other stuff come over. I hope everybody's okay. And then you look to see where the fans, where the debris is. And you look to see what those fans are doing or where they're pointing, and then all of a sudden you see all the track officials and stuff running to the area, and the ambulances, and then there's, you know, screaming, and people are hollering, you know, hey, they need help, or people who have witnessed the horrible stuff, you know, are crying, and it becomes a surreal experience, and it's awful, and it's nothing that you want to, you don't want to have that on your resume that you've actually witnessed that. When I was a youngster growing up in Grand Rapids, I was at Berlin Raceway. This was, I'm telling you how old I am now, back in the 1960s, but a car actually launched over the fence at Berlin and went into the stands and actually killed a number of people, and it wasn't far from where I was sitting. I still have that memory, you know, vividly etched in my brain of that car coming over, hitting, you know, in the stands, and that's actually when they started making this restraining fences stronger and tougher so that those kinds of things don't happen.
Right. Of course, you know, even dating back to 1955 for the Le Mans disaster, you know, in France, we won't really get into that. But basically capping off this segment here, Terry, where does this crash rank in terms of those that you've seen and some past historical crashes? And how impactful is this on NASCAR right now?
Well, not to minimize it, but this doesn't, you know, it doesn't rank up there with the big ones. You know, you saw Dan Weldon, Carcag. You know, the one at Michigan was actually worse, because anytime somebody dies, you know, it's worse than what happened. But you don't ever expect to see an engine in the grandstands. That, you know, that's just horrible. And because NASCAR has learned, I mean, they run for, you know, 30-some races a year at over 20-some tracks. They have learned the best way to try and keep the debris on the track and restrain it. So I guess they have the technology, and I think what they're going to do is they will look at it, but I don't think they're going to draw any conclusions. If there's a safer way to do it, trust me, NASCAR will do it. These are people, they do not want people getting hurt in the stands. I mean, this is, you know, for money or for whatever reason, they want to make sure that this is a fun, pleasurable, safe experience for the fans. So if there was something at fault, they will figure it out. If there's a better way to do it, they will. But I just think that, you know, this was an unfortunate thing. It was the perfect storm. And, you know, they're going to go to Phoenix this week and they're going to race. There's no moratorium on racing. They raced the Daytona 500 the very next day. They've fixed the fence that was impacted by the crash, and off they go. The very next day, they ran the Daytona 500, and it was a safe event, and they're going to run at Phoenix this week, and I think that they're going to study it, and if they need to do something different, they will. If not, it's going to be one of those perfect storms, and it's a risky take if you're a fan of racing.
Certainly.
It's like going to a baseball game. You know you can get hit with a line drive in the stands, but you still go.
Exactly. And, you know, we've seen plenty of baseball injuries, even hockey. We've seen, you know, all kinds of new additions to those parks and arenas. But, you know, you mentioned the show goes on, Daytona the next day. That was a pretty interesting race itself, as I'm sure you know, Terry, as Danica being that first woman to lead a lap in NASCAR's top series. But unfortunately, Jimmie Johnson took it away from her. You know, he basically stole the show.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it was interesting on my Facebook page website that I have for the Midwest racing scene. Last night I asked a question: what kind of grade would you give the Daytona 500? You know, and A, it was a great race. Anyway, the E, it stunk. And all over, you know, we had I don't know how many people commented and stuff, but it went from range A to E because some of the fans, you know, there wasn't a lot of passing. So fans didn't like that. Some were very impressed with Danica. Others were upset she didn't win. But I think for Danica, I think she made a name for herself. You know, because there's a lot of people, and Earl and I have talked about this on his show, that, you know, what has she done in racing? She's never won anything. But I think she really showed that she belonged with the big boys yesterday by staying in the top 10 most of the day. And she could have actually had a top five if it hadn't been for that wild finish yesterday. But the race itself, it wasn't the best Daytona 500 except for the last couple laps. As I put on my page last night, it's like an NBA game. All you had to do was watch the last 2 minutes to see, you know, who was going to win because there was no passing. But Danica made that event. I think we'll remember the speed weeks at Daytona as the week of Danica and the incident that happened in the nationwide race on Saturday.
Right. And of course, those last 2 minutes basically determined the whole thing. But you mentioned there was no passing. What was the main reason for, you know, kind of a slow race?
Well, you know, they just created this new Generation 6 car, and they're trying to get more passing in it. And I think we're going to see the benefits of that this week when we get to Phoenix and some of the non-restrictor plate tracks. But usually, you know, it was just single file racing. Sometimes they try and get two lanes, but you couldn't pass the inside lane in the past. Historically, you never knew which side, the outside, inside lane was the way to go, to the fastest way to get around the track. Yesterday, you had to be in the outside lane. So there was a lot of what we call freight train racing, where you got in line and you just followed the leader, and you just drove around the track, you know, putting laps in the books, because you couldn't get past, you couldn't get enough energy to swing out and pass a car because of the aerodynamics of the of Daytona. We're going to see something completely different at Phoenix this week, I guarantee you. There will be a lot of passing there. The G-forces and all the stuff that happens at a big track like Talladega or Daytona, it's not going to be in play at any of the other tracks. And so I will really get a feel for what these cars can do this week at that track. So it'll be very interesting to see how those cars react on a shorter track where there's not so much aerodynamics, doesn't have such a big influence.
Absolutely, Terry. Now, you mentioned that, you know, because of the aerodynamic influence, do you think that happened to have anything to do with some of the crashes that we see within the last lap or two? The fact that you can't pass throughout most of the race because of that new type of car, and there's more aggressiveness, there's more channeled, you know, competition within those last couple laps?
Oh, absolutely, Alex. It goes back to your question, going back to Kyle Larson. Could he have gotten away? No, they're all bunched up together, so the aerodynamics at a place like Daytona, yeah, you can't. So the passing doesn't happen because you have to stay in line, and you can go faster if you stay in line. If you get out of line, it changes the airflow over the cars, slows the cars down, you know, so you have to draft in the pack. So because you have to draft to maintain your position in line, to maintain your speed to stay up with the leaders, when something does go wrong, somebody gets a little loose, like Casey Kane early yesterday in the Daytona 500, it causes a melee. Or the other day at the Nationwide race, when Reagan Smith got loose and Brad Keselowski, and he got in, and then you saw the accordion effect in the back of the line when all the cars start slowing down. There's nowhere to go. They're going so fast.
Right.
They're all next to each other. That's when the big accidents happen. That's when the things get really dangerous. And as we saw, you know, cars got torn up. And when you saw Kyle Larson's car afterwards, the whole front of the car was completely sheared off. He went up into the fence. His engine went into the grandstands. Tire went over the fence. Sheet metal went into the. As a matter of fact, the couple from Leslie who were injured in the crash, a 75-pound piece of sheet metal went in and hit them, and actually, Mr. Johnson was knocked in a couple rows back in the stands by the sheer blunt force of that hitting him at the track. But then Kyle Larson gets out of the car and he walks away, and he's being interviewed 2 minutes later, and he's fine. It's a crazy thing that happened. It's a crazy sport that we're in, but you can see how NASCAR is trying to make it safer for those guys. What could have been the most horrific accident, with the front whole car cutting right in two. The driver's talking to the media 2 minutes later saying, I hope nobody got hurt in the stands. And
absolutely.
He was fine.
Yeah, and the image of his car, you know, during the race was just astonishing to see that. And
you see the engine on the inside of the track sitting there, and some of the people that were hurt got burned because when the engine came, the fire that they from the explosion and the gas being released, that to me was the surreal thing about it. You just don't see engines sitting on the inside of racetracks. It was just so bizarre.
Wow. Now, also, you know, as you mentioned, sure, you know, the fact that there is not much passing in that race, you know, there leads, that's why a lot of these accidents do happen some of these times. Now,
you look at that, you know, and I think, you know, there are people, you know, there's some people say that people go to the racetrack because they want to see the accidents, and I don't think anybody's got the answer to that. But when you look at Talladega and you look at Daytona, the big ones inevitably occur. There's always those big accidents, and it's because of the aerodynamics and the drafting. Those cars are close together, and when one of them makes a mistake, you know, there other people, unfortunately, bear the consequences of those mistakes. 99% of the time, all that happens on the track. The stuff that goes on, you know, you don't see the debris going into the stands that often, like we saw on Saturday, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, right.
And I know they're going to analyze it, but like a couple years ago when Carl Edwards flew through the air upside down, you know, everybody was okay in the stands, and he walked away because the cars are being made so much safer now. But those are the kind of accidents that happen, and you keep waiting for one of these days. These cars are one of them said, somebody's not going to make it. And they, well, and look where Dale Earnhardt was killed. You know, he was killed in Daytona, going that fast and just, you know, got loose and in the pack and hit that wall head on and
Right. Now, do you think that the fact that all of these accidents do happen a lot of the time towards the end, does that have – you cover the racing scene tremendously a lot of the time. I'm sure you have friends that study it, you know, consistently do some case studies and research about some NASCAR events. But do you think, Terry, that the fact that these new type of cars limit passing and the fact that you see a lot of these accidents towards the end, and especially in these last laps, is there going to be some kind of reform? Is there a lot of push from NASCAR fans, associates, and those that are racing in it to basically stop these kind of cars and limit some of these disabilities?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the cars that they just – the changes that they did is so that there can be more passing. And ironically, Alex, one of the things that NASCAR has done, they realize that they've accepted the fact that the last few laps are going to be the most aggressively won, because these guys get in there, it's like the old football coach, you play the game to win, you play to win the game, you race to win the race. It's really that simple. So NASCAR has even changed the rules because people don't want to see the crash. They know the crashes are going to happen, so they've changed the rules to go to a green-white checkered, and they can do it up to three times. They know the drivers are going to be much more aggressive at the end. They're going to do things they wouldn't do early in the race or the middle of the race because it's all important who wins the race. And they've changed the rules, and they reward the points at the end of the race for winning. It's all about winning. So they'll let you go three or four times if somebody crashes, just so they can have an actual race to the checkered flag.
Mm-hmm.
So though they've even acknowledged it, built into their rules and into their systems, they'll go extra laps because they know there's going to be crashes near the end because guys are going to be more aggressive.
Yeah, very good to know, Terry. Also, just switching gears a little bit here, your thoughts on Danica on her rookie season. There's a lot of hope for her. You know, there's a lot of projections on how she's going to finish. How do you see it?
I'll be honest. I was surprised that she won the pole. But, you know, as all the teams that race in NASCAR will acknowledge, you know, when you get down there, you know, 90% of the work on the cars at Daytona or Talladega are done in the shop. So they're either going to go fast or they're not. The drivers just got to hit their marks. Where we're going to see how far Danica's skills have come up are going to be in the non-restrictor play race. Because now the cars, these G6 cars that they just introduced, these cars are going to be, the driver's going to have a lot more control over what happens in these cars and how they race on the track at the non-restrictor plate races. So I think what we'll really see is Danica, does she belong? And obviously she's got some skills. You're not going to race in NASCAR at the highest level, at Daytona, be in the top 10 all day long unless you have some skills. Mm-hmm. What we're going to see if she is going to be a real contender or a player in the series, we'll start seeing that this week when we get to Phoenix and the other races, because driver ability is going to start taking over as opposed to what the car can do and can't do. Like we saw yesterday at Daytona. So she's off to a good start. I think from what I've heard from friends and seen on the blogs and the social media sites that everybody was very impressed. Danica earned some fans yesterday because she was able to stay in the top 10 all day long. And now we'll see, you know, if she deserves that or if she's going to go to the back like she has in her first 10 or 11 races. So she's off to a good start. I'm going to withhold judgment. I want to see how she races at Phoenix, how she races at Bristol, how she races at some of the other tracks coming up, California, which is like the MIS. Let's see how she does there and if she can maintain her top 10, 15, and, you know, hey, there's your rookie of the year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Again, 355-9527 is the number for WKAR. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. We are getting some calls in. If you have a question or two for Terry before he leaves in a few minutes here, feel free to do that. So as we do get to some of those calls, let's jump to Bill right now, who has a question for Terry. Bill, how are you doing?
Really well. If I heard him correctly, that the object of racing is to go fast and win.
Terry, what do you think of that?
Well, my question is,
please.
What's the function of restrictor plates? And I'll take my answer off.
The function of restrictor plates is basically in the engine, they put these plates over because the more air you can get into the engine, the more horsepower you can create.
Okay.
Because these tracks at Daytona and Talladega are they're the only, well, other than Indianapolis, they're the only 2.5 mile tracks on the circuit. But because of the high banking, these cars can go a lot faster than what.
Terry, you there? Oh, unfortunately, I think we lost Terry. Bill, if you're still there, are you there, Bill?
I am here.
Bill, we're going to try to get Terry right back on the line. Any more questions for Terry while we're trying to get him back?
Well, do they only use restricted plates on those two tracks?
On those two tracks only. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm sure Terry will certainly know if it's just strictly those two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, as you know, speaking in Danica and Jimmy Johnson's concern, those restricted plates, I mean, what kind of impact do you think that has on it, Bill?
I don't know. That's my question. You're saying it slows down the amount of air so they can't go as fast because of banking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, and if that slows them down, I mean, that's don't you think that's just going to change the whole sport of racing? I mean, if that's slowing down those restrictor plates, it's just going to be interesting to see. But, Bill, we do have Terry back with us again, so I'm just going to hold you on for a right second here.
Right.
Terry, you there? Hello, Terry.
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you can answer Bill's questions, that would be great.
Yeah, well, the answer to that is restrictor plates control the amount of air intake into the engine. The more air that is forced into the engine, the more horsepower the engines generate, the faster the cars go. Restrictor plates are used at Talladega and Daytona because the tracks are longer and they have the steep banking, so they can go faster at those two tracks than anywhere else. So they want to slow them down for safety reasons, and the restrictor plates are put right into the engine so that it limits the amount of air that gets in there and cuts down on the amount of horsepower those engines create.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's very, very good to know. Just lastly, Terry, before we sign you off here, Bill, if you're still listening, I appreciate the call. I hope that answered your question. Basically, back to the Mid-Michigan racing scene. Tell everyone what's going on, what you're covering right now, basically what's in the folds.
Well, with the paper right now, we're on hold until April. We don't publish during January and February because, quite honestly, nobody's racing here in the middle of Michigan.
Right, or
the Midwest. Our first paper will come out in April when most of the tracks in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan open. We will cover all the short tracks, everything from Eldora and Columbus in Ohio to Winchester, IRP, Indianapolis, and all points north. Putting together the stuff for the year, and there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff going on in the Midwest this year. Good sprint car series racing. Berlin is going to have dirt on the track again and have two or three races over at the famous track in Grand Rapids with some dirt races at the end of the year. Last year we saw Brad Keselowski come over to Auto City. There's some efforts trying to see if we can get Brad to maybe run an ARCA race at Toledo.
Wow.
This
cool.
year. So racing starts in the Midwest late March, early April, and we'll be covering the Midwest racing scene. And it's an exciting time of year. You know, when I realize 8 weeks from now we'll have the first edition of the paper out, that means all this stuff and all the weather that we're talking about for tomorrow is going to be gone. Thank God.
All right. Yeah, and even so, you know, one, where can those listening get some of this information, you know, basically give your publication? And second, anything new that you guys are covering this year that you haven't covered in years past? How about the race at Columbus? Anything even from Keselowski that you're looking forward to?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Alex. So there are some different things that we do. First of all, if you want to subscribe to the paper, you can call me either on our company line, which is area code 517-930-1368, or you can go to www.midwestracingscene.com. And there's a link on there to subscribe. Yeah, you can read the paper online and get back issues online. But one of the things that we've been asked to do this year is some of the drag strips. We've basically been a circle track publication for the most part for the 11 years I've owned the paper. But 131, the dragway over in Martin, Michigan, and Milan Dragway, and a couple other places have said, hey, you know, what about covering us? And And so, we're in talks to see if we may cover drag racing in the publication this year. But if they're racing on dirt, if they're racing on pavement, and they're going making nothing but left-hand turns, we're covering it for sure. Plus, we've got some people from Waterford Hills and Ginger Man, which are road courses in Michigan. We ran into some of those people on the banquet scene this winter, and they said, how come you're not covering us? And they said, well, you know what? Maybe we will. So those could be some additions to the paper this year.
Absolutely. Great additions, and I'll definitely be getting a look at that, Terry. Thank you so much, Terry, for your time. And definitely you had some great insight on some of the NASCAR happenings and the Daytona race, and you definitely put in a new perspective for me. So thanks again for your time, Terry.
Hey, thanks, Alex, for having me, and let's hope the Spartans can arrest this little slide and win their next couple games and get back into the hunt for the Big Ten title.
Couldn't agree more. Take care now.
All right, you too. Bye now.
All right, bye. There you have it. Terry Fitzwater from the Mid-Michigan racing scene, as he said. You can give him a call, 517-930-1368, if you want to talk to him about how to get into the publication, and then as he gave the online publication site earlier. And as he said, hopefully the Spartans can pull it out when it comes to winning their next couple games, and hopefully the Spartans that are competing in this NFL Combine can pull out some nice statistics, some nice numbers as well. When we come back from this short break, right here on AM 870, we're going to do Take Your Spartan segment. Which Spartan has the brightest NFL future and why? We'll be continuing this segment throughout the next two or three shows when Aaron and I are hosting. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The legendary Boston criminal Whitey Bulger, who inspired Jack Nicholson's character in the film The Departed, was wanted for 19 murders when he was captured after 16 years on the lam. While pursuing his criminal career, Bulger was informing, too, and getting protection from the FBI. On the next Fresh Air, two journalists who've covered his story. Join us.
Ooh, Whitey Bulger's story. Can't wait to hear that. That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Today will be mostly sunny with a high of 35, partly cloudy and a low in the mid-20s tonight. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow, a high of 31. There's a winter storm watch from Tuesday afternoon through late Tuesday night. Light snow likely on Wednesday with an inch or less of accumulation and a high of 36. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you, Scott, for that weather. Again, 355-9527. That's 517-355-WKAR. You can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. Again, the toll-free number, 877-952-7870. If you have any questions for me, for Aaron, any of us today, even for Terry, sportstalk@wkar.org is the email. Again, we are taking some calls for the Take Your Spartan segment. Which Spartan has the brightest NFL future and why? Le'Veon Bell, Will Golson, Deion Sims, and even Johnny Adams, who is going to be running tomorrow, starting off some of his preparations for that 40-yard dash. We have some calls right now. We'll get to those in just a second. But I want to remind you that we are giving away two pairs of tickets to the Michigan State and Western Michigan hockey game this weekend. There are two pairs, so one for Friday and one for Saturday. We'll have two winners. We're going to be announcing those probably on Thursday's show. Wednesday, Thursday, Aaron? Somewhere around there. We'll probably pick a day tomorrow. But if you want to win a pair of tickets, you're going to need to call in this number for your chance to win. We'll draw a winner on Wednesday or Thursday's show. The number, 517-884-4783. If you're in Williamston, if you're in Weberville, if you want to come up here, see the Spartans take on the Western Michigan Broncos this weekend, 517-884-4783 is your number. Again, let's jump to the phones real quick for the Take Your Spartan segment. Basically, just a little pre-cat right now. Le'Veon Bell running a 4.640. That's certainly going to help his NFL draft stock. Some thoughts about if he's quick enough. Will Golston about his inconsistent play. He's starting to do a lot of drills today. But keep in mind this when it comes to Will Golston. Will Golston was told by 14 NFL teams that he would be selected in the first three rounds. Now, that to me is a little shocking because, one, if he has an injury, if there's something that throws him off, that doesn't necessarily guarantee. Maybe some of these teams were saying that because they want to hone into that potential early. They didn't want him to wait a year and improve his draft stock. So that's a little bit about Will. In terms of Deion Sims, he dropped a lot of balls yesterday. Right now, he's ranked 8th of 15 in the tight ends. He's projected to get drafted in the third day. So debate whether this was the right time for him to come out or to stay in school. And Johnny Adams, the former cornerback, is running tomorrow. And as we commence the show in a minute or two, I'll give you some news on former linebacker Chris Norman. But let's jump to the phones. We got Ray in Fort Wayne on the line. Ray, who's your favorite Spartan and why?
Hey, go Spartans. Beat them bullies up north.
Hey, yeah, I totally agree. Why not?
Hey, I tell you, it's been tough since they beat the Michigan by 22 points. Wasn't that something the Brady Holt? I never seen a football coach come up for a road game.
Yep.
Lloyd Carr, David Brandon, John Beilein, all the liars that took my chocolates and held the victory.
Right, right. Now, Ray, let me just say one thing quickly. First, you know, it was a 23-point win, but you know, that's another thing, is coaches supporting teams. You said it, when was the last time you saw Brady Hoke, any coach supporting a basketball game, you know, and making the drive up
game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the thing is that it was a rivalry game, and I think that's the fact that, you know, they're trying to support their team. But hey, they did lose, so that says a lot.
You think your football coach is going to go down there to Ann Arbor?
Hey, that's the thing. Well, we're getting to the segment right now, Ray, on which Spartan has the brightest NFL future. If it's Le'Veon Bell, Will Golson,
I would say that linebacker or the defensive tackler, Golson,
yeah.
Yeah, but he's been kind of inconsistent, hasn't he, over
his career? And that's the debate about him, is that he's not really consistent on every down. He makes a play here and there, but then he'll basically get, you know, he'll get pancaked the next play. Now,
what about that linebacker, the Bullock?
Max Bullock. You know, we still got to wait on him.
Michigan State another year.
Right. Now, what are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell, Ray? Do you think that he has a shot to be legitimate back?
He's another one that kind of gets. How many fumbles did he have last year?
Ooh, I looked that up right now. I don't think he had too many. I think that was one thing about Bell.
Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking, that he had two or three that I've seen. But, everybody's going to fumble sooner or later.
Right.
I think he's I don't think he's going to be great back, but I think he can be decent in the NFL.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he ran a 4.640. I mean, that statistic right there, that's pretty uncharacteristic for Le'Veon Bell, considering that.
How many Michigan football players left the program?
Michigan football players. I mean, of course, you look
Campbell.
At Denard. Denard was running the 40 yesterday.
Yeah, Denard and Campbell.
Right.
But I don't know, do they have any other players that left their
I mean,
program?
They had some guys graduating. I mean, I know Stoneham, that was one of, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, how many players
lost. But here's the other thing, Ray. Sure, you like Golson, you know, that's your guy. But what do you think of this? And this is something I'm going to cap off the show with within the last 2 minutes here, and I'm going to cap it off with you, Ray. Listen to this. Sure. Former linebacker, all right, Chris Norman, who led the team this year in games with plenty of tackles. There's some news coming out that was announced yesterday that Chris Norman is going to forbid his NFL draft for the seminary. Yes, he wants to ultimately open a ministry in Detroit. A loss of potential for him. Any chance of him winning or losing in this situation? You know, he could have maybe walked onto a team and made a role. I mean, we've seen plenty of Spartans get drafted on day three and made their call. But Ray, thoughts on Chris Norman going to the seminary? I mean, good for him.
Is that something for God? You mean?
Yeah, he wants to, you know, be a minister.
Well, I don't knock anybody for that.
Right.
I love the Lord with all my heart. So, you know, anybody that wants to do something like that, God will bless him for it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye now. All right. There you have it. Ray from Fort Wayne giving us his call on who's your favorite Spartan. Again, if you want to call for next show, we have like a minute left. It might be a little bit too late. 517-355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. Who is your favorite Spartan? We'll see some 40 times today from the DNs. We'll see Golson today. We'll see Johnny Adams tomorrow as he runs his 40. And we'll see if Deion Sims can catch some more balls and basically get that draft stock up from day three to a hopeful day two. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Sports Talk 870. I'm Alex Sharg, usually the guy queuing it up behind the glass. Aaron Young doing a great job today, as usual, behind the glass, as we split the weeks, as usual. But I'll be hosting for most of the week, along with Aaron, as we do Take Your Spartan segment. Tomorrow, we'll probably talk a little bit about the Detroit Red Wings and Detroit Pistons. Haven't touched much on them. A lot of news springing out of there. And a blurry of vision from Jimmy Howard. What happened with that? He reported about blurry vision, not being able to see the puck clearly. Interesting. Even about the sport of hockey. Maybe some injuries about that. All that and more next show. But you've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we're Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock on AM 870. And as Earl Robinson would say, tell everyone you know you can listen to sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I'm Alex Sharg. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.